I'm Andrew Tillman. I'm the president of the Bitcoin Scholarship Foundation. We're going to be talking a little bit about what we're doing at the Bitcoin Scholarship Foundation and what's next in the future. Let me start first by saying that we are attempting to break the cycle of poverty using Bitcoin as well as education. I want to start with, you know, fundamentally some of the issues with children living in poverty. Statistically, in 2024, there was 10.35 million children living in poverty in the United States, roughly 14.3% of the children in the United States. Of those children, another statistic is there's 2.4 times more likely violent offenses on those children. There's an 18 times higher likelihood that they'll commit suicide. And there's a 20 times more likelihood that they will be incarcerated as juveniles. So really the story started when I was, living as a young adult in Ohio. I grew up in the Midwest. I spent a lot of time in a city called Lima, Ohio. And I got to know a lot of the children in that city through the YMCA, and kind of hit me as a Bitcoiner at that time. This is maybe 4 years ago now. I just kind of like questioned, how do you break this system of the poverty class when there is fundamentally, you know, this erosion of the currency that they're being paid in, or just, you know, living off of government subsidy. You know, in the Midwest specifically, there's, hollowing out of the manufacturing base. And that's fundamentally kind of the issue in that city in Lima, Ohio. Yeah, at the time I was thinking about this, and it breaks down in two things, in my opinion. It's education and it's opportunity. And the opportunity was completely, removed from them, not by their fault, but, you know, because the manufacturing base of America was outsourced to cheaper labor markets, you know, and everybody in this room is familiar with, essentially having the reserve currency status. We have an uncompetitive labor market in the United States, and, those jobs are not coming back. So the idea was like, how do you give them opportunity if you can't get the jobs back into these areas? And to me, the best form of opportunity is Bitcoin. And so what we did is we structured a program for children living in poverty that provides curriculum for essentially all things financial literacy from ages 5 to 18. It gives each child in that program $500 in Bitcoin, time locked until the age of 25. So this is conditionally theirs at the age of 25, as long as they complete the financial literacy program and they do not have a felony offense on their record. So it's a two-part incentive. It's learn about this information that will help you as a young adult, you know, all things financial literacy, and do not get in trouble. But the unique thing about this model is we're partnering with Unchained on this, and each child will have $500 in Bitcoin as soon as they enter the program. They'll have access to that Bitcoin as far as visibly watching it on a, you know, price basis. They cannot move it, they can't trade it, they can't sell it. But they're almost coerced into this passive skin in the game exposure to Bitcoin. So when Bitcoin goes up and they're euphoric, or when Bitcoin goes down and they're terrified, that emotional attachment, the skin in the game element of this program fundamentally gets them to ask questions in their head. Why is my Bitcoin going up? Why is it going down? And all the while, we're providing financial literacy education for each of these kids. And so they have an emotional reason to why. Why do I care about this? You know, something that maybe is very foreign to a lot of Americans, but especially very foreign to a lot of kids that are living in poverty. Why should I care, right? They struggle in school systems. Why should I care about financial literacy? Well, if you own an asset and this asset is appreciating tremendously over time, you'll care. And so that information will stick. You know, this is part of the psychological element of this. And beyond that, Bitcoin is the greatest opportunity for them. So as a five-year-old takes in $500 into their sub vault and they, you know, grow up 20 years later, if you have a compounding growth rate of Bitcoin at like 30% year over year, you're talking about $95,000 USD at 25 years old, which, you know, of course you have to adjust for inflation, but the idea here is it's a start to their life. It's a start to get out of their situation, which is some of the worst situations in the United States. So they can pay off debt. They can put a down payment on a house. They can, go to school if they would like. They could start a business. And in the very worst case, if the child learns nothing, at the very end of this, if they decide to just spend all of that capital, they convert the Bitcoin to USD, they blow it into, you know, whatever it is, at least that is most likely being spent into an economy that does not have economic stability. So you have a little bit of like flourishment, economically speaking, for the business owners in that area. So at the end of the day, it's a win-win-win, in our opinion. You know, and then currently what we have done, I live in Chicago, and in Chicago, we have two different pilots. We have a pilot in the Allgeld Gardens, thanks to a very powerful Bitcoiner named Tobias Shepherd, who is also on his own path to starting a Bitcoin community reserve out in the Allgeld Gardens, which is an interesting story all in itself. But we also have another partnership in the west side of Chicago in the Austin neighborhoods. These neighborhoods are very rough. These are bad places to grow up. And we have 2,300 children that we can service immediately. And we will. So, you know, what is the long-term impact of this? The idea here is what we want to accomplish is a federated model. You know, we'll pilot this in Chicago. We will build out the educational template for all these children. It's 168 different lessons, the massive curriculum. But thanks to AI and, you know, the ability to scale things quickly today, I mean, this is not a heavy lift. The heavy lift is really more of how do we fund each child? You know, once we get through the foundational build out, which is coming, this is a very, very new nonprofit. You know, we intend to give this to everybody that is willing to do it. There's a motivated group of Bitcoiners and they want to take this on and they have children in their communities that want to be serviced. And, you know, almost every single child I've ever like encountered in family that I've encountered that lives in poverty deeply, deeply wants this program. They may not understand Bitcoin, but the underlying thing here is it's hope. You know, they've had generations of families that have been serviced by the government through different government programs and nothing has gotten better. And so when you come in and you are telling them about Bitcoin, they may not understand it, but you tell them, hey, this is a chance to gain back your sovereignty as a community, as an individual. You know, the problems that you're facing today, some of them are not your fault. They are a byproduct of a broken monetary system. They may not understand that, but they definitely understand you're giving them a solution and they're happy to learn more about it. So we've been definitely doing a lot of education outreach right now in Chicago. But yeah, the long-term plans here are you're going to federate this. So, you know, the different various Bitcoin communities across the United States, if they have active members that want to take on this model, the financial literacy program will be open source, available to everybody. And then, you know, it's kind of the YMCA model. We would like to see this grow in every single city, every state. And then from that point on, it's kind of a, you know, it's its own animal. And, you know, just extrapolating into the future, 20 years from now, we'll have so much data on this, on how this will impact children, how it fundamentally helps them in their developmental years when, you know, the foundation is really being built. And it'd be very interesting to see statistically, you know, these kids, which were often referenced as just statistics, how do they fundamentally change when their worldview around money and their worldview around the problems and the hopelessness and the lack of opportunity is completely flipped on its head. And each child and like hundreds of children in each school system or group, you know, whether it's a church or school system, a community, you'll have hundreds of children unlocking capital every single year throughout the year. And there's a lot of things to unpack there, but you know, it's a way to stimulate these economic regions that are being destroyed. And really, you know, and there's three or four points I can make on this, but I'll just start with one. You know, why should anyone in this room care? I mean, maybe you're empathetic to their situation. Maybe you've experienced this yourself. Maybe you came from a, you know, impoverished family. That's a huge reason. Maybe you live in a community that's nice. Maybe you live in a community that has, you know, it's a walled garden. The point I'm trying to make is you should care because those problems will come to you eventually. You know, maybe it's on your commute to work. Maybe it's in your own community when you're followed home late at night, coming home in the middle of, you know, at 1 in the morning. And this happened to me. I lived in Lima, Ohio. Lima, Ohio is a fairly rough city. And I went into work late one night to fix an issue. Came home, it was like 1 a.m. And two guys followed me home. And fortunately, I recognize this because I live in a sleepy neighborhood and there's no one that's awake at 1 a.m. So I just kept driving. But those two guys intended to rob me and they were going to break into my home. So the idea here is you may not care about those out of sight, out of mind communities, but that problem is your problem. And at the end of the day, if you love your country, if you love your state, you love your city, we're as strong as our weakest link. And the social weakest link is the poverty class. And we live in a fiat world and everybody in this room is a part of the solution. But I think we do kind of hyper-focus sometimes on the financial elements of Bitcoin or the adoption rate of this. And really, at my core, I would love to see Bitcoin help those most in need first. I mean, it's coming for everybody. The nation states will absolutely adopt this. The banks are adopting this. Wall Street's adopting this. We have no worries about that anymore. It's playing out perfectly. But I would like to see the world become a better place as fast as possible. It's something really what we're attempting to do. We got a very lean team. There's like around 8 people that are working on this foundation right now. And the bigger question is how do we, obtain funding, right? That's like the biggest thing. So there's 3 different ways that we're doing this. We have very good support from a political level in the state of Illinois, which is ironic, but in the state of Illinois, there's a lot of Democratic policy makers that like this idea because we are servicing their demographic of the voter base, which is kind of a fun way of looking at, we're Trojan forcing the Democratic Party. But we have grants from the government, we have grants from foundations that we are applying for, as well as obviously donors from our personal and private networks. The other thing that we are doing is we are actually donating 10% of our own proceeds from one of our businesses that the founders of this nonprofit collectively own, which is the Midwest Bitcoin Summit. 10% of the proceeds of our own conference will be going to this as well. And it's just an aim to just continue to contribute and pay forward to the future generations. Yeah, I think I just want to leave with this remark, which is, Bitcoin has saved my life. Bitcoin has saved my family's lives, saved hundreds of other people in my life because I am a relentless Bitcoiner. I never stop talking about it. I don't care if you like me or you don't like me. I will continuously talk about Bitcoin because we all need it. I think the point here is, I would like to see others be saved now that I am, comfortably saved financially. So this is, this is the point, right? It's to build a better future. And the better future starts with the children, and some of the children that are in most in need are the poverty class. So thank you.